Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to issue 68 of Hey Kids Comics. I, of course, am your host, Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, is showrunner and amazing human being, humanitarian, philanthropist, and demigod, the Jedi Cole Houston.
I'm like a low-rent demigod, if you want to go that route.
You're like a semi-god.
That's right. Semi-demi-god.
It's a bra, I think. I've spent enough time in Victoria's Secret to know what a bra is. I know stuff. so let me get out there first and say this. In reference to this particular episode, this is my show, and no one can have it. Cole can run his little podcasting empire.
Oh, okay. I see how this is.
But this is mine, buddy, and you will pry it from my cold and dead hands. This, of course, is the show titled – that was a long setup, awful setup for this.
This is the episode that's all about – this is for you fans of the Addams Family films, a little bit of – mass trivia here. It's all about the book that will open the bookcase to get you to the Addams Family vaults.
As you know, we're in the middle of an arc. I think I did just fine. Thank you. I think I did just fine on the opening.
Oh, you did. You did.
Gotta crush my dreams.
No, I just I wanted to have the intro for myself.
Okay, so of course we were in a story arc about the seven deadly sins called the seven deadlies. Last issue we covered wrath. This issue we are of course covering greed. So all of that was a little radio
That's
drama.
Right. This is enough is never enough.
This is
all about the greed.
Let me break character early. Let me break the fourth wall early and say that none of that was true. This show is all about you guys listening and your support and your love. So we wouldn't be here without you guys. But that's it being said, I swear if somebody tries to take my show, I'll punch him right in the thorax. If you have a thorax, that's where you're getting punched in it. Yeah, if you're a chitinous creature.
Our insect listeners out there, beware.
If you're Chitauri or one of Annihilus's wave, I will punch you straight in your thorax. So, I first of all, addendums, erratums, this catums that I'm looking at down here. Hi, Rascal. We were remiss last issue, and I want to.
Are we rectifying a terrible oversight?
We are. And I want to rectify it so we can continue on in through the next four issues of this and make reference to it. So, in reference to wrath as one of the seven deadly sins, I had every intention of bringing up the spectrum from Green Lantern
It's funny because I think the flavor art for that issue was the Red Lantern Corps.
Right. So let's say this. As much as it makes my butt pucker, the Lantern spectrum, the spectrum of lanterns that they brought out, you know, during the War of the Light and all that stuff that we've learned about, encompasses a lot of these. The Red Lantern Corps being, of course, rage or wrath, rings fueled by that. They call it an emotion, which, again, that's like calling willpower an emotion, which is what they call it, you dumbasses.
I second that emotion.
If you feel like giving me a lifetime of devotion, that's a whole nother episode that I think
that's a whole other show
that we've done and then we'll do again, I'm
that's
sure.
Right.
But in reference to that, I'd like to start here because it's a good jumping off point in the form of Larfleeze, and I hope I'm getting that right. Kurt, if you're listening, and I know you are, call me and tell me I'm wrong, and then I'll go into the next issue and do another
This is an opening for a new addendum.
We could have every issue. We could add something that we forgot. The orange lantern in the spectrum of the green lanterns, or the spectrum of the lanterns, if you will, they're not all green. The orange lantern is the one fueled by greed, or as they call it, you know, histrionically, Erebus. The lantern is literally fueled by the bearer's greed. his desire to have more of everything.
Doesn't it become a little bit tenuous as far as leadership for the Corps?
There's only one. There's only one Green Lantern or one Orange Lantern because he won't give up any power.
I was going to say,
for anyone else to have.
It's kind of hard to have a core when, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, when you have the meeting, it's like everyone has the floor.
Right. He creates light constructs to be his other lanterns that are deferential to him. That's the only way he can do it.
Okay, yeah.
So I thought that was a cool little jumping off point to start with, because that literally is a superhero who's power is fueled by greed. So there you go. And plus,
who can claim to have embraced greed that wholeheartedly to become the embodiment thereof.
Right.
Because most of them are too greedy to admit that they've become the embodiment of greed.
That's very true. We often think of this, again, we discussed this last issue. We often think of greed or Erebus as a villain trait, something that only the villains. Oh yeah, well, you know, all the villains are greedy. They're greedy people.
They're greedy, money grubbing little greed bound monsters.
yes, they are. Whether it be power, whether it be money, whether it be other people's possessions. Obadiah Stane. I'm sure we're going to come back to him on this.
Oh yeah,
what was his wife's name? Madeline Stane?
Marguerite.
Stane. Marguerite.
Yes, Marguerite
Stane
was actually drove Obadiah's greed.
Is there? Did anybody check Wikipedia to make sure that didn't get changed?
Yeah, somebody. If you haven't done that, please go in, because I don't know how to do those things.
I want to see that for myself. Yeah. But it's not primarily I don't think it's primarily a villain trait. I think it kind of shares.
I'll give you a hero right out of the gate.
Okay, let's do it. Bring it.
Right out of the gate. A certain gold and blue, very self-important pretty boy.
Wow.
None other than Booster Gold.
Wow, that is a good one, man.
Because, you know, his heart's in the right place, except that it's a very greedy heart. It's a very self-satisfying. You know, he fights crime that he knows is going to happen anyway in a sort of Minority Report sort of way. When you know the bridge is going to collapse, wouldn't it be a better idea to go and tell, you know, petition the city about 6 months before?
Right.
You know, demand that they go send somebody out to take a look and realize, oh, wow, we don't normally get under these unless we're, you know, clearing out the meth labs or something. And that was for fans of Breaking Bad there.
Lots of meth labs under the bridges.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I've never seen it, so I'm just...
You know, if there weren't, and I can't remember any that there were, that is one of the only failings on the show
possibly. I can go on one of those websites and do a list, like top one failings of...
Of Breaking Bad, not enough meth labs under bridges.
Right. What's wrong with them? Of course, I guess did it take place in Oklahoma?
Arizona. Arizona.
And that's why.
That's why. Yeah,
fewer
that's
bridges.
Fewer bodies of water. Flowing bodies of water to worry about there. No, you're absolutely right. Booster Gold, self-serving.
How do we win Booster Gold and meth labs? I don't know, but there you
go. Welcome to Hey Kids Comics.
That's true. I've been on this thing for 60-some-odd issues.
How do you not know clever editing? That's how. On both of our parts.
That's right. It's the self-absolutely doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Absolutely a good choice to go with, because you're right. He is the most self-satisfying of superheroes that I can think of, at least outwardly. You know, comes from the future where he knows he basically biff
He does. He kind of biffs it.
Yeah, he kind of biffs it up. He comes back from the future with a super suit and a flight ring that he stole.
That,
by
that
the way,
explains kind of how why he's always, when he's hanging out with Blue Beetle, he's like, "Mr. Potato Head."
He always carries that book of sports scores with him too.
That's right.
And a robot that can tell him what's going to happen, you know, at any given point in the past.
Well, you know, the reason you have the robot is so you don't have to memorize all this stuff before you leave.
So we're going to talk about him when it comes to Sloth. Because if you're going to be a self, you know, superhero,
you do need to know your history.
Right.
Obviously, not a student of history.
Right.
He just took Wikipedia with him in floaty orb form.
Floaty golden orb form. So, yeah, Booster Gold, absolutely. Good choice, no, right off the bat.
Yeah, in a way, it's almost the obvious choice, but in all honesty, Booster Gold did not occur to me in conjunction with the show until I was driving home today.
That's a good choice.
I think it's because, like, I think I ran over Skeets.
You know who? You know a superhero for me that I consider greedy that most people wouldn't is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna explain why. I'm gonna get into it because Spider-Man.
Fiction, that's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement. Spider-Man, in my opinion, is the biggest of the cake and eat it too superheroes.
Ah.
He wants to fight crime and he wants to do good. So his heart's in the right place, usually is, and it usually works out okay, but he also wants to have a normal life and a wife and a Pomeranian.
And a career outside of superheroing.
Right. It's not a Superman situation where it's to the point where he takes pictures of himself and sells them.
Yeah, that's he's sort of like self-paparazzi'd.
Exactly. That's taking selfies
of
yourself.
No one has ever asked how Peter Parker got that high up on a building to take that picture in the first place.
Exactly. So I think he is the greediest in my mind of – to the point where he made a deal with the devil to give up his relationship with – literally made a deal with the devil in one of the worst storylines ever written. Granted, I'm going to give you that. But
yeah, before we seem to be, you know, actually endorsing one more day, I forget it.
But the fact is
it one more day? Because I think one day more is Les Miserables.
It is.
One more day. Okay.
One more dawn. He made a literal – I'm just acknowledging the fact that it happened. He made a literal deal with the devil to save his aunt by giving up the woman that he loves. That is at that point, Spider-Man, you sacrifice yourself.
Yes, you say, I agree because Aunt May, she was no spring chicken. She lived a good long life. Let the woman go. Let her go and, you know, reconnect posthumously with Uncle Ben.
Exactly. Because she had already connected.
She's running down the clock anyway.
She'd already connected with posthumously, not humously, not even posthumously with like Jarvis and probably Dr. Druid. Probably Dr. Druid. Let's just
Dr. Druid gets a lot of the cast offs.
He gets a lot K-Pag tail, I think.
Well, you have to understand the Dr. Druid has, I mean, it's like that guy in Don John. He went for the ones and twos. And they were all going after the tens.
Right.
But he was never hurting for
tail. For superhero tail.
Yeah. That's, Dr. Druid is the ideal wingman.
And as far as
he'll take the ugly sister. Absolutely.
How can you give me any more superheroes that suffer?
One of the Dr. Druid's insatiable greed for tail.
for burlap sacking and tail.
They just Captain Butterface there. Just,
Oh my God. Captain Butterface. Tigra has agreed for peen. Let's just admit that fact.
Well, in all fairness, in her feline
biology,
I mean, it's got to be the heat is on.
she's a walking. She's the Glenn Fry of the West Coast Avengers.
Exactly.
The H is O all the time.
There really can be no sating that desire.
That's true. What about Iron Man? Tell me about Iron Man and greed.
Iron Man's an interesting choice for greed because I think you're looking at a character who, Tony Stark, if you look at the man, you know, he once had a lust for wealth and power.
Right.
And kind of got the rude awakening thing going on. And but, then I think, in a way, you know, you just trade obsessions.
Yeah, because his greed went from wealth and power to a greed for creating, a greed for almost like a mental disorder for like almost an obsessive compulsive need to create more, to create better, to build more, to not
to build
sleep.
Every variation. I mean, you know, when they needed, I mean, there's actually an Iron Man armor for tending the roses. I mean, really, is it that specialized? You know, the horticulture armor was just a bit of a stretch.
The roller skates. Did you need the roller skates? You did not need
the roller skates. Was more just. I think though, you have to understand that roller skates were around the time where the other insatiable desire in his life, which was whiskey. I think that one was the product of the monkey. The monkey was speaking when the roller skates came into play.
You sure it wasn't the fact that he thought that at the time that the ladies loved the roller skates?
I think, though, yeah, it was a product of its time. It was a product of its place. But I really think that that's something that once Tony sobered up, you know, he was repairing some Iron Man boots one day and realized, what's this?
What's happening?
That was the famous demon in the bottle where he's staring at himself in the mirror. It's not this sudden moment of clarity, to quote Pulp Fiction again. It was this realization, I put roller skates on an Iron Man armor.
Well, you know how you don't see you see one hand holding the bottle on the cover, and then
the other hand holding the boot with the skates.
It's off panel holding the boot with the skates in it. That explains everything.
It's the sudden realization that, one, I'm a lush, and two, how wildly impractical are roller skates on Iron Man armor? I mean, he was even getting to the point where the horticulture armor seemed a bit excessive to himself.
But he kept it around.
Yeah, he did keep it around.
Because you don't get rid of perfectly good horticulture armor.
Well, he did. He retrofit it so it would be wearable for Jarvis. He kind of had it altered.
He had to take it out a little bit.
That's right.
That's amazing. That's hilarious.
A little less iron, a little more tin, but...
hilarious.
You know, in all fairness, what was he going to come up against? Wasps or
it's true.
Chinch bugs? You know, the
lack of hydration. It had those knee pads built onto it so that he could.
That's right.
Repulsors in the knees.
Yeah, so you don't really mess up your knees when you're down there weeding.
Right. So,
and it also had a built-in garden weasel, which was really handy.
That's nice. Nice. Let me ask this, because I was thinking about this earlier. Is there a point at which it's okay to be greedy? Because I was thinking about I was thinking about like some of the more obsessive superheroes that'll do anything to protect the ones that they love, or for instance, and I think about Captain America a lot right now for some reason, but to protect country at any cost, is there a point at which greed is okay? Is there a point at which we can Gordon Gekko this thing and say greed is good?
Oh, wow. I guess, you know, if your greed is to, in a sense, literally like to be better than everyone else, to be the ultimate
epoch.
And that is driving you to do the most possible good.
Okay.
You know, if there is a net benefit that isn't personal beyond the personal satisfaction you get from being the hero, but then that almost borders on justifying Booster Gold's criminal activities in the future.
But it doesn't.
Where he
but
goes to the past to escape his own crimes because the statute of limitations would have long since worn off by the time the future catches up to him.
He's kind of a brilliant character. But it doesn't only because of the fact that he isn't trying to better himself. He's trying to better his social perception.
Absolutely. Well, he wants to go back to a time when, you could be celebrated for being a hero.
Right. He wants to be celebrated. He wants to be that hero that's celebrated. He's not doing it for just the betterment of mankind.
Yeah.
He's doing it for
I mean, there's a,
himself,
a benefit
solely
to his self-importance.
Right.
Somebody who otherwise might have gotten smashed under a car or something doesn't.
Correct.
Which probably also means that the architect for the original Legion headquarters is never born. Yeah, I didn't think of that, did you, Skeets?
Yeah, but, a butterfly flaps his wings in Brazil and causality.
Oh, but then suddenly, yeah, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather decided that maybe his great-great-great-great-grandmother was worth a second shot.
Second date. But he's not doing it for the guy that's getting saved from being crushed under the car.
No.
He's doing it for himself. All right.
Especially because in my scenario, the guy was a woman.
Exactly. That changes everything.
Again, causality. A butterfly flapped its wings, and suddenly it's a guy under the car.
It's like, what just happened? All right. So let's talk about some villains. Villains are a little easier to identify because when we discussed the anatomy of the villain, it was one of the two things, hubris, which we'll get into later on in this story arc, and greed being the other, were two of the things that we identified as the linchpins to becoming a villain. So it's a little easier to do with a villain. There's a type of greed that I think that gets overlooked when we're discussing villains, and I think it is very predominant in the Batman's rogues gallery.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is the greed for attention.
I was kind of heading in that direction myself, a kind of this desire for justification, self-justification,
right.
Self-aggrandizing.
Right.
A great example is our title, our flavor art character this week is the Penguin.
The Penguin does not get enough play.
No, he doesn't. And that's rather why I chose him, but also because he has a kind of a short list catalog of greed, because there certainly is the monetary greed. There is the greed to acquire wealth and power and objects d'art or whatever it is he's after.
Right.
But also this greedy, self-important need to rise above being hideous little dwarfish malcontent. And it's almost
absolutely
like the guys
right.
he went
right.
to prep school with, he's going to show them.
The thing about Batman's rogues gallery is, and we've discussed this before, it's what came first, What came first, Batman or the creation of Batman caused his villains to rise, or were the villains just waiting in the wings and Batman gave them a focal point to work with? I think a lot of the Batman's rogues gallery function on a level of greed that what they want is Batman's attention.
Yes. More
they
than anything.
Just, right.
It's almost like, I'm going to get beaten up. I'm going to get sent to jail or the asylum or what have you.
Right.
There's a good chance the longer I'm playing this game, I'm going to lose. But if I'm going to lose, I could lose a game of chess to 3-year-olds. But how cool would it be to lose a game of chess to Garry Kasparov?
Exactly.
I mean, it would be a cakewalk for him. It would be, not even, we're talking like 3 moves in, and I'd be, it'd be over. It'd be the
but
shortest
I'm gonna do
game
it.
In history. But I could say, Garry Kasparov kicked my ass. Well, naturally, he did. But, isn't that better than beat cop number 7 catching you as you're backing out the
right? I mean,
the warehouse with an armload of gold?
The DC universe is so full of places that are not rich with superheroes. You got your big cities, you got your Keystones and your Gothams and your Metropolis and your central cities and your places like that. But there are plenty of places out there for the Riddler to relocate to and just mess some shit up for a while and not have to worry about Batman, you know, breathing down his neck every 30 seconds, unless you want Batman breathing down your neck every 30 seconds.
See, the thing about it is the Riddler would never relocate, because at least there he's got somebody to bother with. Because he originally started his career in Terre Haute, Indiana. And after 19 months of waiting for someone to decipher one of his simplest, you know, by his own admission, probably his worst work ever.
Even just find the first riddle. Yeah, nobody cares.
Exactly. I mean, he sat around with this artifact that he stole from the library that he didn't even want. It was like...
In Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah, it was like an anchor or something. For some reason, they had in Terre Haute, Indiana, historical significance. It was missed.
It was missed.
But there wasn't a concerted effort. It was assumed that it was pranksters and it would eventually show up like that other thing did that time.
Right.
People came from miles. But,
See the music, man.
He went from city to city and finally found his place. Right out of the gate, you know, one of his riddles was immediately solved by Batman.
He's like, I'm home.
Yeah, and he's like, so he tried another, and it was solved. And it, you know, it just helped him up his game.
So what about these Iron Man villains? Because we touched on them a little bit last time. But, I mean, there's a case to be made just for straight-up greed.
Yeah.
Guys robbing banks. Guys stealing Catwoman. Catwoman's a good one to talk about always.
Catwoman is a great example of greed because she's driven by... You know, the necessity to, you know, she's making some dough off of this. But also There's almost like this addictive, there's, you know, she's not as bad off as Magpie. Which is why she goes to jail and Magpie goes to Arkham Asylum. There's a really difficult distinction there. What does it take to be considered crazy versus just your run-of-the-mill criminal? Why do some people get to go there and other people get to go? I mean, both have revolving doors.
Right. Well, Catwoman wants to be caught. She's no different than the Riddler or the Joker or the Penguin. She wants Batman to catch her for reasons other than you know, for the story or for the pride of the thing. She wants Batman to catch her for various other reasons. But she definitely has a compulsion for theft.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think she could not steal. I mean, you don't want to take her out to dinner because of you never know how much the cutlery will be gone.
That's true. You got to hide your silver.
That's
when,
right.
When Catwoman's around. What about Lex Luthor?
Lex Luthor, I think, is sort of the Archduke, if not the you know, he's certainly high up on the food chain of greed.
Because
he lusts for wealth, for power, for control.
Control. There it is. I think that is a big one. For a lot of these supervillains, there is a greed for control. There's a Mandarin, Dr. Doom, Lex Luthor. Can you think of any others off the top of your head?
Darkseid.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Definitely Darkseid.
And I'll give you another character who embodies greed in a way that is, you know, it's a compulsion and in a way it's part of his nature. He can't help it as an immortal character or entity, is the Collector, one of the elders of the universe over at Marvel, because he filled up like three or four planets with all the stuff he's collected and he still can't stop.
It's an episode of Hoarders.
I mean, yeah, couldn't you put up some shelves or something? Whole planets? You know, you can get some extra space, but get a Detolf. Go to, go to IKEA.
Go to IKEA.
I mean, you're bound to have a few things that are small enough to put multiples in.
Get you some nice shelf rack.
Yeah, some of those, like, little shadow boxes.
Right. Before we get to Watchmen, because it's Watchmen time, we said we were going to do it. There's one more character I want to discuss, and he's going to cross a couple of these. And we didn't really use him in the last one because I don't really think it worked. but it certainly works for this for the topic of greed. That is the one, the only, the giant purple matter eater, Galactus.
Ah.
I mean, Galactus is going to be part of the gluttony one for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But there is a level of greed for power when it comes to Galactus. Like, granted, I mean, his thing is he has to keep going or he'll die. He's like the shark of space.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if you don't keep eating planets, swimming. Yeah, you'll die. But he just keeps right on going and just eating planets and taking. That's the thing,
also,
is he takes the resources.
There's beyond just the necessity, I think there's become a psychology for him as an entity, because there's a certain degree of power and control. I mean, you're the most feared entity in the universe.
And look how you're dressed. I mean, you've got to...
Well, when you're the most feared entity in the universe, you can wear purple.
That's what I'm saying. You can wear purple and blue. You can pull that off in your giant, weird-looking helmet with your fins on the side. I don't know how you can pull that off, but you're doing it, so... God bless you.
Pick up over 100 billion channels. It gets lonely out there on those long drives from planet to planet.
He likes to watch the Magic the Gathering tournaments on ESPN the Ocho just as much as everybody else.
I just wonder if, though, he has like a bag of asteroids or something to snack on between. You know, sometimes when you're driving along, it's nice to have, like, you know, nacho cheese asteroids.
He goes in and gets rings of Saturn jerky.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, snap into a comet.
Nice. Snap into a comet. I think Galactus is a big one. Maybe not so much for the greed. I do think that you're right. There's a greed for there's a definite
case to be made. There's a passion for the power that comes with being Galactus.
Right, right. The fear. There's a greed to have yourself be feared and feel powerful when you're Galactus. When you show up on the scene,
it's because of his incredibly tiny penis.
Oh my God!
To borrow from Robot Chicken, it's practically concave.
It's just giant dude, very tiny penis.
That's right.
Like, poor guy. Poor guy, I understand.
He makes
I get
up
where he's
for it with from. Purple armor and the planet eating thing.
The whole planet eating thing. That thing he does with the planets and the eating.
That's right, and the comet.
So let's talk Watchmen, because we said we were going to do it.
Absolutely.
In each of these issues, we're going to discuss, because Cole is the elder statesman, the historian, the Hammurabi of laying down the law when it comes to Watchmen.
Well, and ironically, I keep discovering the question came up about on the first episode of BS with SB. If you've not listened to that, give it a listen. It was a lot of fun just kind of shooting the breeze with Stuart Balk from Midnight Movie Cowboys.
So greedy, you can't even wait till the end of the show to start plugging stuff.
I know. I'm trying to own this show. I'm going to at least get my network a good plug.
The network that this show appears on, by the way. So,
but in our meandering, I could so fire you off this thing. Good luck.
I you can't quit me.
You know I can't.
I know you can't.
But, you know, the Watchmen came up on that show, of all things, during our meandering conversations. And bless him, Stu got me thinking about Watchmen there. So you might want to give a listen to where that went. But on the greed aspect.
Right.
Where do we find greed? We certainly find greed in Moloch in his youth.
Yes.
Because, you know, he was running a vice empire that you pretty much got to have the greed in your blood to go into vice in the first place.
Yes.
Because otherwise you won't dress in those ridiculous colors and styles from Miami Vice. Because then it's the Galactus all over again. It's the purples and the blues and the high collars and the antenna.
When you're faced with having those particular ears, you'll do just about anything.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it was too late for Star Trek, and once you have heard, "Are you Mirror Universe Spock?" for like the 90th time, you go into stage magic and crime.
That's what I did. Straight into Stage Magic and Crime.
In fact, Stage Magic and Crime is my next album.
That's your next rap album, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
Shows me pulling a 9mm out of a hat.
Is this your shank?
It is now.
You want to see a magic trick? I think it comes back again for me to the comedian.
Yeah, I think so. He is. I think he would be the closest to really embodying that sentiment or that aspect of the Seven Deadlies.
Right. The ideal that greed embodies this thing, because it wasn't a greed for money. He had that.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty evident. It wasn't a greed for – it was sort of a greed for power, you know? Like he obviously had a complex at some point. You don't strap a gun to your side and put a domino mask on if you don't have a certain level of greed for power.
Well, that – and I think that there was a kind of a – what you get with Eddie Blake is this sense that if you abandon everything – that might identify you as a normal human being, or is he takes on this deliberate role of everything's a joke, therefore I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And it's sort of this greed for, in a sense, a freedom that goes beyond what we normally enjoy as people.
It's he is so greedy that he has given up his ego to his id, that it is a greed for complete – it is complete and total selfishness.
Absolutely.
Is what
it
is.
And within that selfishness, an abandon, as it were. Because once you can reach that point, that pinnacle, then it's pretty much open season. You can do whatever you want, because then you're just – that's just the way you are.
Right. You've lost your humanity to the idea of becoming an animal, to becoming a monster, to living, to defeating your id, not your ego, to just embracing whatever impulse happens, to hedonism, to a greed for violence that, like we discussed last issue, isn't normal, isn't natural in almost any, it isn't comparable in almost any other character in any other comic book I can think of. Because there's no driving factor to it. There's no revenge there, really. It's
no, absolutely not. I think he's driven solely by his own drives, as it were, his own internal needs and that greed. And also what's interesting there is you kind of inspired an observation that, you know, it's sort of don't kid a kidder when he's beaten up by Hood of Justice.
Yeah.
And sees, in a way, almost a kindred spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That it's that violence, that desire to be violent and have that violence justified. As a superhero, I can go beat the living crap out of bad guys.
Quote unquote, right.
Yeah, and it's acceptable. If I break this guy's face, he was robbing a bank. He deserved it. He had it coming.
I'm a hero.
Yeah, if I go out and butcher the Viet Cong, they're the enemy. It's okay. Am I a little more extreme than everybody else? Yeah, I get a little out of control. I get a little rough and tumble. I get in there, you know, kind of like bloody my fists a little bit. I like to bloody my knuckles. I like to cut in there, turn into some of this, like, character. Just like out of the blue, I don't know who this guy is. But
I don't know who this guy is either, but I like him.
It's not Eddie Blake, but he likes to, you know, it's a little tough. Sure, I get a little tough sometimes, but, you know, I got a heart of gold.
Do you think that the reason that I don't know if it was
a heart of gold, by the way.
I like tough guy with a. Can we bring him back?
We can definitely bring back tough guy.
All right, I like tough guy with a heart of gold. I think his name's Tony. Can we name him Tony?
Tony or Angelo, one of the two.
Angelo.
I'm going with Angelo because it's got an angel in it. It's like
it has
angel.
It has angel in it. It's Angelo. I got a heart of gold.
No, it's Angelo. You know that's.
You know, sometimes I like to put some socks.
You know, you mess with me a little bit too much. Maybe your nose is a little more sideways than it used to be. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe I take my sock off and this roll of quarters ends up in it. But I'm just saying, I'm Angelo.
I'm a good guy.
I'll buy you a beer when I'm done breaking your face. I'm Angelo.
That'll soften the blow a bit.
what was I saying? What it was either a kindred spirit in that moment or a realization that justification makes it easier, not on myself, but for society as a whole to accept me and allow me to do the things that I want to do. So if it's justified, if I go out and beat up a bad guy, if I make like Angelo and go out and beat up a bad guy, it's justified by society. I want to beat up society, but it's a lot more difficult for me to get away with beating up society than it is to beat up a bad guy.
Absolutely.
If I just airdrop myself into some random stan, Kazakhstan or you know, whatever.
Random stan
and just start lighting.
It's a little known country. It's like one of the least, it was so little known even Russia forgot it was one of its holdings.
It was a little known country until it was no longer a country because comedian themselves into it. But you know, whatever stan it is, if I drop myself into whatever stan it might be and just murder the country, that's not going to go over quite as well as if I go out to Vietnam and take on the Kong. You know, that, and all of a sudden the realization comes that I can be this monster. I just have to, like we said last issue, I just have to become a weapon in the hands of the people that want me to do it, and they'll allow me to do whatever I want.
Oh yeah, they become literally a, there was a wonderful line in the Bill Willingham series Pantheon that he did for Lone Star Press years ago where something to the effect of, I'm going to make you into a weapon that I can point at my enemies and make them disappear.
Right. But it's worse, though, with the comedian, because when you send the comedian after somebody, you're not trying to make somebody disappear. You're trying to make them pay for something because he's not going to – he's not going to do things quietly and cleanly.
No, he's going to make a statement.
He's a blunt instrument. He is not a surgical strike. So one other thing I want to talk about with Watchmen is Ozymandias Razmataz, however you want to pronounce his name. I don't even know.
Alakazam!
Yes,
Ozymandias or Ozymandias, King of Ants, if you're quoting Python.
How does that play in?
That's an interesting, because I really reflected a lot on Adrian Veidt and Ozymandias' role within the realm of greed. And oddly enough, I find myself seeing sort of this Kill Bill, you know, where it's sort of like, you know, you may think this is me at my most sadistic, but it's actually me at my most... whatever the opposite is. I've suddenly drawn a blank on the masochistic. Because, you know, you could argue that his greed for, you know, this desire to be a savior, this sort of messiah complex almost, was overwhelming. But the reality was that, you know, he's choosing to shoulder a burden that he feels no one else can.
This is what I was talking about earlier. The is greed justifiable in some cases? And I think once you get to the end of Watchmen, it is. I'll say that. I think when you look at Adrian's greed, it's justifiable.
Yes, because it is a selfless kind of greed. It's an extroverted greed that he's projecting out onto the world that he wants so desperately to save from itself.
Except for making weird antenna tigers. That is just plain greed. I can't justify.
What I will give you is just pure, unadulterated, garden variety, off the rack greed.
Megalomania greed. Yeah. That's what that is. There's nothing.
I've got more money than God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my own animals.
I'm going to make some antenna tigers to run around in here.
And I'm going to have a private jungle.
Yeah, come visit my private jungle. That's the dirtiest thing I've said all episode.
Wasn't that a Slash novel of some kind?
I think it was.
It was like Tarzan / Kazar.
Oh. Nobody needs Tarzan Kazar / fiction.
You know, up to this moment, I didn't realize how little anyone needed that.
It's subtitled You Tarzan Me Pain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I, all of a sudden I actually want this.
I'll
slash fiction. Please research Tarzan.
I'll put my slash fiction.
Marvel man. Marvel disgusting.
You just said hashtag. I love the fact that Cole just said hashtag. Cole is really coming up in the digital world, and I'm proud of him for it. He's
already pulling myself from the primordial ooze of technology from whence I came.
Me, Tarzan, you pain. Jesus. What's wrong with me?
Hashtag classics right. Desecrated.
All right, I have one more question, and then we're going to wrap it up because we're getting there.
We are indeed.
Again,
we
are it's, which is amazing. Tell me, I was thinking about this earlier.
Only I don't want to stick to an hour because I'm too greedy on this subject.
You want to keep going? This is your subject.
I can't let it go.
The idea occurred to me today that there are a lot of, you know, villains and superheroes that are extremely greedy for their own reasons, but there are straight up greedy ass items. Accessories, weapons in the comic book world that they rarely go mentioned, and things like the Infinity Gauntlet, even to the point of Thor, you know Thor's hammer, that are sentient to some degree, and most of them embody greed, which is a really interesting and weird concept to me.
That's an interesting point, too, as I never really thought of them from that angle, but there's certainly precedent for that as well.
There is. Absolutely.
There are these objects that literally are constantly calling out. They're like the ring, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're the one ring of the comic book world. Mjolnir, I am Thor's hammer, and no one else can have me because you're not worthy.
That's right.
Like, the Infinity Gauntlet, along with the Infinity Gems, once they get, you know, the reason that Adam Warlock carried, I forget which one it was, up on his noggin for so long.
I think it was
so
Soul Gem.
Which is the name of my next album.
Because that was a TV show in the 70s. It was Soul Gem!
It was a whole different show. It was just working out to funk
that's right.
Music.
It was sort of like the Jack LaLanne of...
because they definitely exist in an Ayurvedical plane where they try to take control of those who are trying to control them. You have to best them. It's almost like the idea of a sentient item or weapon in Dungeons and Dragons where you have to literally battle wills with it in order to conquer it and put it to
it's
your
– almost like – it's like a wild horse.
Exactly.
You have to break them.
Exactly. To a lesser extent, Green Lantern rings.
I was going to say the Green Lantern ring, you're about to croak. Well, I'm going to choose your successor.
Exactly.
I don't trust you to make a good decision. I've been around you long enough to know the kind of decisions you make.
Do you remember what happened on Mogo with the Keela and the whores? Yeah, you're not calling this one. I got this one. You don't get to call that.
You know who else remembers it? Mogo.
Mogo remembers poor Mogo.
Yeah.
God.
Mogo will have to live with that for eons, epics.
Just ages and just beyond time. Just
in all of Mogo's 617 billion years of existence, he's never had such a travesty played out upon his surface.
A travesty played out upon his surface.
There's actually a rash. There's like a fjord there that has a rash to this day.
That's not kudzu.
That ain't nature.
The Witchblade, Darkness, the Spear of Destiny, the Angelus, all of those things are other examples of items that you're constantly battling for control of either the item or yourself. So there's a level of greed in that. That I think is really interesting to watch play out. All right. So I think it's time we wrapped it up.
Absolutely. I think the only other character I think that really needs a good mention here, because he's greedy as all hell, because he's got it all figured out, and everybody else should just come in line, and that's Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, nice. Nice, yeah.
You know, Raj figured it all out, so we all must do what Raj says, because he's the one.
You know who else falls into that category? Vandal Savage.
Yes.
He's so greedy that he's been planning greedy things since he was the smartest ape man.
Yeah, you know, when he picked up that tapered jawbone, clobbered another one, then all of a sudden declared himself the Ozymandias of the primordial man.
Exactly, for power. His greed is a greed for power, yeah. And he is playing a long game for it. He is not a short con. He is playing the long game for power.
Well, once he figured out he's got the time to kill.
It's literally and figuratively. Yeah. You know, we didn't talk about Batman, but I think that it's very easy to say that Batman has just a greed for revenge. You know, it's kind of an open and shut case for Batman.
Well, it literally becomes one of those cycles like the Punisher or other vengeance-based characters where when do you reach the point where enough is enough? And that's a good place to wrap things up.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. Okay.
Is, you know, can there ever be enough vengeance? Can there ever be enough, you know, will there ever be enough to make up for your loss?
Or for your psyche.
No, because every Killer Croc or Jigsaw or other Punisher villain, you know, reminds you of that loss. So the second you get settled in, all of a sudden, Crazy Quilt's on the loose again.
Exactly.
And sure, he's an easy catch, but it gets under your skin. And next thing you know, the pearls are falling and the gunshots and the whole, the flashback thing again.
There's always going to be another suit of armor that you have to best. There's always going to be another bank to rob. There's always going to be another vice to fill. There's always going to be another woman to impress. There's always going to, you're never going to. That's the thing about these characters and greed is it's never enough. Even, you know, Batman, you're right. The cycle never stops.
Well, be it whether you're, you know, languishing in prison and scheming your next move once you're out, or you're back at your headquarters, mansion, base, cave, tower, satellite, what have you, the wheels are always turning. Who's next? What's the next target? What's the next game? What's the next score?
Right. What's the next episode? What's the next issue,
Cole? The next episode, as a matter of fact, as we race our way through the Seven Deadlies, as promised, with Seven Deadlies and 5 episodes to cover them, we're going to get really greedy and take 2. our next episode is You've Got What I Want. And we are going to talk about lust and envy.
Because
in a lot of ways, the two of them share, they're kind of neighbors. It's like Pee-wee and Mr. Crabtree.
Okay,
hi, Mr. Crabtree!
Listen, lust and envy straight hump. All right, let's not pull any punches. They're doing it.
Well,
they're the two sins that are.
Andrew and I are lust and envy.
We really are.
We are the embodiment thereof.
If we were glow gorgeous of ladies of wrestling wrestlers, we would be lust and envy.
That's right. We'd be like a tag team that would be so much all over each other that the other team would. Just be
exactly.
There.
It would be like Tarzan Kazar slash fiction.
There you go.
So
yet again, we bring the show back around to a terrible
full circle into hell. It's a full circle right into the yawning pits of your soul. So thank you guys for indulging us once again on another story arc.
Yeah, ironically, the devil wants to make a deal with us never to go there again.
But we will.
That's right.
We spit in the devil's face here at Hey Kids Comics. Thank you guys for listening. So as always, next week. So we've got our show for next week. Join us, please. I've got a new addition to the plugs.
Ah.
I've started pretty heavily using Instagram, and I'm going to try to use it more for the show. And so if you're on Instagram, search for hashtag either HKC or Hey Kids Comics. I'll be hashtagging all of my all of my Hey Kids comic stuff with those two things, so you can find us fairly easily. I might start adding JCU and Jedi Cole Universe to them as well.
And hashtag Lust and Envy.
Hashtag me Tarzan you pain. Hashtag
hashtag awkward Marvel.
Awkward Aquaman. Hashtag
hashtag Edgar Awkward Burroughs.
Hashtag Sea Beast with two backs. Hashtag I don't even know. So that's what so pay attention to that.
Yeah, especially the first two hashtags, which were legitimate.
Or four, because of the JCU and Jedi Cole Universe. After that, if you want to search for them,
Lord knows what you'll find. Hashtag Urban Dictionary.
Hashtag Bobby Blakey.
hashtag Unmountable.
Hashtag Hummus. So if you can, Cole, can you plug us up here? Because I know you got some special stuff.
I think we need to. Of course, you're listening to us courtesy of the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can find us on Twitter at The Jedi Cole U, if I'm not mistaken. I go there from time to time, and I forget what the name of the damn thing is. You can also listen to myself, Andrew, Mrs. Jedi Cole, and the insurmountable Rick Gutierrez on United States of Geekdom at UnitedStatesOfGeekdom.com, where I believe you can find our own Andrew Farmer on a show called Watch It. Has begun to air.
We've got two episodes. One's out, one isn't yet, but soon coming on the fantastic, just bleak, brilliant, La Femme Nikita-esque Hannah. It's magnificent. And we've got another one coming on Haywire that we're going to be recording in this next week. So
excellent. And then, for conventions in the state of Texas, you can go to Convention Awareness Project at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.org. Also, please, for the love of God, go to the Jedi Cole Universe. Scroll down to where you have the listings for all the different categories. Click on forums. Join the forums. We really would love to have you. Remember, if you do sign up for the forums, you'll get an email from the forum administrator that asks you to then activate your account. So don't do like hashtag Bobby Blakey and join the forums and then not realize you hadn't activated it.
And then just rage because they aren't working when you haven't paid attention enough to realize that you got an email waiting on you to activate your account.
Exactly. And otherwise you'll get this little nasty gram from the administrator asking what became of you. Why have you left us? Because it's greedy. And,
it's greedy. It wants it all. It's like a Queen song.
Join the forums. Use the forums. I've created them for you, our listeners, our viewers, those who follow all of my various antics and articles and such. You will also find specific forums about myself, for Andrew, for Eddie Medina, for hashtag Bobby Blakey, for Mrs. Jedi Cole, who, of course, does the incredible What'd You Think? We got a couple more of those that will either have aired by the time this airs or will soon be airing. Otherwise, just hashtag the hell out of everything and enjoy your comics.
Also, thanks for closing the show for me. Also, I'm working on a Hey Kids Comics Tumblr, which I will put. Here's the thing, right? If you want all the information on how to find Hey Kids Comics, I'm going to go through in the next day or so, before this launches, before this drops, and post all of that in the Hey Kids Comics forums. So if you want that information, come out to the forums, get on there, and you'll be able to find all that. That is your incentive to come out. That, and I guarantee you, wiener jokes.
We're going to open a wiener joke forum on the Jedi Cole Universe forums just for Andrew.
In light of all that, I want you all to go out there and hashtag buy, hashtag collect, and hashtag enjoy your comics. And you cannot have mine. They're mine. I'm sick of you trying to take them. Never try to take my stuff. It's mine. Get comfortable. Celebrate your body.
That's right.